lighthouse, a beacon of hope, a guiding light, providing direction in the dark, guiding us to safety, guiding us home, bringing things into the light, standing tall. This is who we are. A family calling out the extraordinary, living proof that God still changes lives. Families have been restored here. The lost have found their home here. Prayers have been answered here. Hope has prevailed here. And this is just the beginning. We believe in a God who is still on the move, still healing, still restoring, and still building his church. What was once a dream is now a reality. Lighthouse Church, Navan and Dublin, a place where everyone is welcome, where nobody's perfect, but anything is possible. And this is just the beginning. Looking forward, eyes fixed on Jesus, we won't stop. We're all in. Such a great adventure. Welcome to the future.
You are so welcome to Lighthouse Church, Cabinet Fall, Church of Chuck Solace, on Ballytalk Leage. My name is Anders Dumb, and we are so glad that you are with us. And of course, as we do every week, a massive shout out. Come on to everyone watching online. Let's give them a massive boule of bus also. We are glad that you are here online and in the room for what is one of the most important Sundays of the year. It is Vision Sunday, everybody. It is Vision Sunday. And this is a kind of time of the year, we do twice a year usually, where we kind of move away from our usual modus operandi in terms of, like, today's not going to be a message. Our service isn't what it usually is. Today's all about dreaming. Today's all about looking back and giving thanks for what was, acknowledging what is, and looking forward to what can be. And here's what I want you to know from the upfront. At the very beginning of today's message, online or in, of course, the room. We are a church that has a bold and brave future. And the reason why we have a confidence, the reason why we have a bold and brave future is because we have faith in a God who not only was and not only is now currently, but also will be in the future. We worship a God who's above time, transcends time. He's present with us now. He's present in the past. And of course, he's present in the future. And he has called us on purpose for a purpose. And so if you're new, not a Christ follower, not a believer, you're just popping in today, maybe you're skeptical, maybe you just checked us out online by accident. Well, first of all, there's no such thing as an accident. There's no coincidences. Everyone who needs to be here is here, and God's got a plan for our life. So what is vision and why does vision matter? Well, vision is really important. I mean, for obvious reasons, when it comes to driving, operating heavy machinery, when it comes to taking care of children, vision matters. We all know what it's like to be part of an organization, to work for an organization, to participate or experience an organization that has a sense of purpose, right? We know what it is right now. Right now, we're physically in a cinema screen, and we know what it is to be in a cinema that has no vision, no purpose. Well, how does that manifest itself? Well, all of a sudden, the seats don't get changed, the wallpaper remains the same, the equipment is old, there's no drive, there's no hunger for the future, there's no desire to get better. But we all know what it is, like in this great cinema that we're part of today, to be in a place that's trying to get better, trying to improve, pushing forward, pushing the boundaries. And the truth is, we like vision. We like to be around people, we like to be in and work for organizations that has vision. Because when we don't have vision, we don't have clarity about who we are and where we're going, not only is it frustrating, but it's also dangerous. I was researching for this message and I came across a funny joke about visions, about a man who walks into an optician's. And he walks in sheepishly to the optician's and he says to the person behind the counter, he says, "I think I might need glasses." To which the person behind the counter very boldly and very rudely says, "I'm sure you do. You definitely need some glasses." Well, the man, of course, surprised by the employee's forthrightness, says, "And what makes you so sure I need glass? I haven't even done a test yet." To which the person responds, "This is the bank, sir. You definitely need glasses." You see, in the end, we're all going to end up somewhere. It's just a question of, are we going to end up somewhere on purpose? Now, as a church, we have an overarching, what we call vision statement. This is like the rule, the guide. This is like our overarching purpose for existence. It, of course, is that we exist to inspire ordinary people to an extraordinary purpose in Christ. Yeah, we're very excited about it. Come on. That's worth celebrating. We're going to clap a lot today, guys. You might want to just stretch your hands, your forearms. There's going to be some clapping. There's going to be a lot of things we're going to celebrate today. But this is why we exist. And what this means, if you're watching online, you're in the room, and you're thinking, what does that mean? What it means is that we believe that every single one of you was created by God on purpose and for a purpose. Now, again, maybe you're not a Christ follower or a person of faith. Maybe you were dragged here or tricked into coming or watching online. Again, like I said, we're glad you're here. But what I'm asking you to do today, if you're not a believer, not a part of our church, is to be open to the idea that just maybe God has a plan and purpose for your life. Like just maybe your existence is more than just getting up and going to bed and working and eating and sleeping until the day of your time to leave this earth comes. Maybe God knows your name. Maybe God gave you gifts and talents and abilities. And maybe God gave you an ability not to change the whole world, but to change a part of the world. To change the part of the world in which you live in. But again, this isn't just like self-help talk, like I'm an amazing person and I'm a world changer. This can only come through a relationship in Christ. Because when Christ works in us, his power through the Holy Spirit becomes available to us, which allows for life change, transformation, and allows us to experience this extraordinary purpose. Now, one other thought before we move on. This extraordinary purpose isn't a destination. Like in the Western world, we're so obsessed with success. We're so obsessed with measurable outcomes. Don't get me wrong. We really believe as a church in measurable outcomes. We measure a lot of things, okay? Measuring things is important. God devoted a whole book that's called Numbers. So God measures things because things matter. People matter. So it's not about getting one day to a place where all of a sudden I've achieved my extraordinary purpose. Your extraordinary purpose is a lifestyle. It's a day-to-day thing. You can be living in your extraordinary purpose right now. I believe, maybe it's my bias as the pastor of this church, that if you're here today or watching online with us, you are literally living out part of God's extraordinary purpose just by being here right now. Why? Because something what's happening in here is about you, about your part, your role, about inspiring you, encouraging you, about maybe inviting you into this relationship with Christ. So everything that we do, whether it's setting up lights or, you know, our band or our environments or our services or our small groups or our care ministry or our kids ministry or our international, everything that we do is to inspire ordinary people like you and me to an extraordinary purpose in Christ. And isn't it good, by the way, isn't it nice to be in a church full of ordinary people? Now, don't get me wrong, I didn't say normal people. There's not a normal person in this room, because what person, you're thinking, how do you say that? What normal person sits in the Odeon cinema at 11:28 on a Sunday morning listening to some pastor talk about vision in church? That's not normal people, okay? So no normal people, but lots of ordinary people, ordinary, broken people who need help to this extraordinary purpose. Now, when we think about vision, we think about the future, think about what does that mean for us as a church in two locations, Dublin and, of course, our location in Nav. What's God saying to us? Well, I really feel the word that God is speaking to us as a faith community right now is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and it's going to be the end of verse 5 and verse 6. And again, this is just a kind of a guiding word. I'm not going to get into a sermon. Usually what I like to do right now is break it down and explain it, of course, in its context. But today it's more of a guiding kind of prophetic word for our future. It says this in verse 5. It says, because God has said, watch this, because this whole thing originates with what God has said, with what God has done. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Let's pause here for a second, okay? The author of Hebrews is kind of encouraging the church at that time with this idea that God has made a promise to us. Now, the promise wasn't, and the promise never is, bad things won't happen to Christians. And if you're here today, you're thinking, I'm interested in Christianity because I want a jail-free card from evil and suffering and pain. You're in the wrong church. In fact, I don't think there's a church in the world that can promise, scripturally speaking, a Christian existence that's void of pain and suffering. Pain and suffering are part of being human. And there's a whole reason for that, which we can get into another day, in terms of Adam and Eve's choice at the fall and the consequences thereof. But the point is this, despite the pain and sorrow and suffering of our world, in our world, God makes us promises. He gives us promises. And here's one of the great things of today. Every single one of you in this room and online is alive right now. How good is that, everybody? It's not good to be alive. This week I had to bury a relative of my family who very tragically passed away. And when you're in that environment again, people you love, you realize we shouldn't take the simple things for granted. We're breathing. We're alive. We're in this room. God promised that never would he leave you, never would he forsake you. Why? Why? Because he loves us. And the result is in verse 6, and this is the response to what God has said. So we say with confidence. If you feel like we're confident today and you're thinking, where's all this confidence coming from? I mean, do we have some secret weapons? Do we have loads of resources? No, no, no. Our confidence is not in our gift. Let me tell you something. If Lighthouse Church is built on the ability of the pastor or the team, we are so screwed, it's not even funny. I mean, you don't know me, but I know me and other people know me here. It's not going to work. Ordinary person, extraordinary purpose in Christ. Our confidence isn't based off our abilities, our gifting, our anointing. Our confidence is based in what God has said. And the reason why we can have confidence in what God has said is because of who God is. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, which is, of course, also taken from Hebrews. And therefore, he says, the Lord is my helper. I shall not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Which I feel like this is the tension for the season. Right now, our culture is so full of fear. In a few minutes, I'll talk about a series we're launching next Sunday all about fear. So many people are afraid for so many reasons. And what we're saying is as a church in this crazy world, ordinary people, extraordinary purpose, we can have confidence. We can have confidence personally and for our families and for the Lord's promises over us individually. But we can also have confidence for the future of our church that we're not building this thing. God is building this thing. We have the privilege of being part of it. Therefore, we don't have to be afraid. I think it's mad to think, again, if you're in the room and maybe watching online, that it was only a handful of years ago, it's only 3 years ago, that 10 people came into this area, Dublin 15, Blanchetown, Dublin area, to start this church. I mean, this thing's only 3 years old. If you take out the COVID years, or 4 years old, but you take out the COVID years, it's like 2 years old. Look what God has done. And yet we're still at the beginning of the story of this church. The point is simply this, and the point of today's vision talk is simply this. God is with us, friends. God is with us. In fact, if I were to put it more in a more theologically accurate way, we're with God. God's not really with us, as in like we're doing something, God's with us. We're saying, what's God doing? We're with him, okay? So God's with us because we're with him. The question is are you with us? If you're part of our church today, if you're someone who wants to be rooted and planted in this house, I'm asking, are you with us? Now, to answer the question, you know, because this is where you got to be careful with commitments, okay? Well, what does with us entail? What does with us mean? What are you asking me to be part of? And so what I want to do is I'm going to break it up into three sections. I want to give you three things to consider. And if you're already with us, these are some things that your being part of being with us has enabled. And if you're not with us, but considering being with us, here's some reasons to be with us. Three things to consider. Number one, we're going to talk about things to celebrate. Number two, things to contemplate. And number three, things that we want to concentrate on moving forward. Let's start off with the good stuff. Let's start off with some crack. So what are we going to celebrate? There's so much worth celebrating in our church right now. One of the big ones, of course, is our Connect groups, everybody. Come on. Yeah, Connect groups. We're so excited for that. And this September is obviously one of our Connect group sign-up seasons. And we love Connect groups. Why? Because Connect group is where we make friends. Connect group is where we share life. Connect groups is where we live out Christian community. We're in Connect groups. Not because we have to go to a group, because it's so hard to know people and be known in a large room like this. But it's good for us and it's beneficial, as we heard last week in the series that we did, for our mental health, for our emotional health, for our spiritual health, to be connected to other people in community. Now, we made a big change this year. We've got a couple of new leadership positions happening. So most of you will know Junior and Lucy De La Arena. They came on team at the beginning of the year, and they've taken over as our Connect group directors. Of course, Pastor Patrick O'Loughlin's in the room. Come on, show love for Patrick. Did an amazing job. But now it's up to Junior and Lucy to lead us into the future. As of today, we have somewhere around 34 groups in our church, with a total of 212 individuals in those groups. How amazing. Come on, celebrate that, people. Come on. What does that mean? It means when we say our church is not something you go to, but it's something you're part of, we're putting our money where our mouth is. And if you were part of a connect group during lockdown in this church, you know the value of this. That even though we couldn't gather for a service, church never stopped. Church never stopped because we were in community, we were in connect groups. And again, if you haven't already, make sure to consider signing up to a connect group today because they're starting this week. But we're super encouraged by these numbers. Another win that's worth celebrating is, of course, the next generation. In case you haven't figured out, we love the next generation in our church. And here's the kind of thing with next gen. Sometimes it can become like, well, they're the next gen. You know what I'm saying? This is our gen. That's their gen. Take your gen out of my gen because it's my gens to shine. You know what I'm saying? But we're not really subscribing to that attitude. As far as I'm concerned, the future is now. Okay? We talk about next gen kids and youth. They're not one day. They're now. And so we love the fact that we give our church away to young people. And so much of our resource, such of our energy goes into helping and supporting and inspiring young people, young ordinary people, to an extraordinary purpose in Christ. And we're super thrilled with the announcement that just this year we took on two new youth leaders, Matthew and Anna Francie. Come on, I'm so excited with that. Have stepped in, joined our team, and are now taking over as our youth directors. And it's so cool to be able to say that we have launched a youth group in Navan, a youth group in Dublin. And so if you are a teenager, or have some teenagers, or know some teenagers, just don't go and take them. That's kind of against the law. But do tell their parents there is a youth group, there is a community of young people in Lighthouse that they can belong to. Also, most of you are aware, our kids' church team in Dublin. Come on, aren't we so great for our kids' church team? All the team do a great. Let's give a massive, because they can hear us, a massive round of applause. Come on. We love you, Kids Church. Woo! Let them hear it. Of course, our Kids Church team is led by the wonderful and one and only Julian. And we're so grateful for him. But also in our Lavin location, we had another leadership change in that Sarah Corcoran, my sister-in-law, stepped up at the beginning of the year to take over as kids director in Navan. And it is absolutely booming, everybody. There's kids coming out everywhere. It's amazing. So we're so appreciative for them and for the next gen. The other thing we're really excited about is new people. Because we believe the gospel is good news. In fact, we're doing a series in January called Euangelion, which is the Greek word for gospel, which translated into English isn't translated as gospel. Stay with me now. It's translated as good news. Yeah. And what's so interesting is why do people have such a negative response to good news? Yeah. If it's good news, it's good and it's news, right? So I think part of the problem is that most people in Ireland haven't rejected the gospel. They just haven't heard it. And so we're committed to proclaiming and expressing and sharing the gospel in new and creative ways, like right now in the cinema or, of course, online. So we love the fact that we create environments that new people can come to and feel welcome. We're very strategic, my friends, in the idea that we want to create a space where anyone can belong, even though they don't believe, with the hope and aim that they could and would one day believe. We don't judge people. We don't ask people to fill out a survey before they come to our church. We don't manage behavior. We say, hey, nobody's perfect. Everyone is welcome. And anything is possible because God is in the room. And we've had a rough time, as was mentioned, with lockdown and COVID, as have all the churches in the nation. But what's so encouraging is, would you believe, since reopening our doors the first Sunday of July, over 200 new people, come on, have come to our church in the last 3 months. That's amazing. Now, not everyone stays. That's up to every individual. But the fact that they came and felt welcomed and felt like this is a place I could be and were open to hearing what we were saying, that's phenomenal in 3 months. But not only did 200 new people come, 60 of those people, some of you in this room right now, got connected with the church and ended up finding a group or joining team or just being connected and coming on Sunday and are now walking in or beginning to walk in their extraordinary purpose in Christ. I'm so encouraged. Let's give a massive shout to our Next Steps team, come on, who do a great job every Sunday answering questions, paying for coffees. It is wonderful. Another win that's worth celebrating is, of course, our online church. I mean, we kind of had to go online with COVID, but since going back in person and moving that service to 7 p.m., those of you, of course, who are watching right now are part of this online church. We've got over 600 viewers since going back into in-person gatherings. We've got a handful of people who every single week, like this is your church. You can't be here physically for medical reasons or geographical reasons, but you're watching, you're part of it. I was at an event a few weeks ago down the country, and someone said, listen, I'm not really in a church right now. I'm just between places. But every week I watch Lighthouse Church online. I'm sure you're watching right now. And it just showed me how much opportunity we have to help people, to help inspire ordinary people to extraordinary purpose in Christ online. Now, of course, I'll say it boldly and I'll say it clearly, especially those you watch online. We don't want our online church to be a replacement for your local church. So if there is a life-giving church in your community, find it and get involved in it and help make it great for the glory of God. But we're super thrilled, aren't we, church, that we get to share our resources with people watching online, sometimes all over the world. One more time, a massive round of applause for everyone watching online. We're so glad that you are here. Another part of our church, which oftentimes doesn't go mentioned because of its nature, is our care ministry. Because really a church shouldn't be measured by its production ability, the amount of lights it has, or band members. A church should also be measured by how deeply it loves and cares for the people in that church and the community of which that church is part. And we have a dedicated prayer team and care team who are constantly praying for people's needs 24/7 as needs be. We have people who will pray for people, our pastoral team do hospital visitations. There's been times through lockdown people needed food. Sometimes people needed resources. We had one family in particular who their whole house was just well below any kind of standard of living. A team of volunteers from our church went there, cleaned everything, paid for a skip, emptied it, bought new utensils, brought food, did everything to help that family get back on its feet. And so there's so much that happens behind the scenes. One of the cool things that we've done in lockdown is a thing called Meal Train. And of course, this is kind of inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 25, that I was thirsty, you gave me a cup of water and so on. And what Meal Train is that whenever anyone is sick in our church or down or just unable to take care of themselves, there's a team of volunteers in our church connected to our care ministry that literally cook meals and bring them to the doorsteps of those people who were sick. And what was wonderful for me was, as the lead pastor of this thing, was back in May, we had our fourth son, little Jonathan, was to be able to come home, and for a whole week, people just kept randomly showing up at our doorstep. Well, it wasn't randomly, we knew they were coming, because there's a whole filing system, don't be freaked out. We knew who they were coming. And delivered food to us. And it was such a really cool expression of care that, yeah, man, church isn't something we go to. Church is something that we are part of. And those of you who've been through tough times and have experienced the care of our church, you know how rich and how meaningful that is. But for those of you who haven't, just know that being part of this, by being with us, you are enabling this ministry to help people in our community. Not only people who are part of our church, but even sometimes people who aren't part of our church get to experience this really cool ministry. So we want to really grow in our ability and with the systems that we have to care for our community. Another cool thing we're celebrating is today, everybody, we are launching a brand new website right now in service. That's right, a brand new website in service. In just a second, get your phones ready. In just a second, I'm going to have you open your camera and I'm going to show you a thing called a QR code. Don't ask me to explain, I don't understand. But I'm going to show you a QR code. And when I show you this QR code, it's going to take you directly to our brand new website and you are the first to see it. But before that, here's a quick video demonstrating some of the of our new website. And a bit massive shout out to Chris Johnson who helped put that together. Come on, show appreciation. for Chris. Well, here is the QR code, so you can either scan it right now or you can scan it on the big screen, and that will take you directly to our website. We'd love for you to check it out. It's a great resource. It's for you. And also, when you land on the website with your mobile device, it will straight away ask you to download the app. And we want you to download the app because we put a couple of freebies in there, okay? We've designed a couple of really cool screensavers inspired off of the Hebrews 13, 6 scripture that we have confidence in God and we don't have to be afraid for you to basically save, take a photo, it'll go on your phone. Every day you can be reminded of that promise that because God is with you and for you, you can have confidence and don't have to be afraid. There's some other cool things there for you too. So also make sure to download the app because in the future, what it means, again, if you're part of our church, is rather than having to just message you, and really important, if you wouldn't mind, you know, it's kind of one of these awkward things, but if you wouldn't mind turning on the notifications, okay? Our promise is we won't nag you, okay? We're not going to send you 1,000 notifications a day, but what is really cool with this technology is if we have to get something out to you quickly, like a change of venue or a change of time or anything like that, you're not going to show up with your family here, no one's here. You're going to know because you got the notification. So please, when you download the app, make sure to turn notifications on. We're super thrilled about our new website and, of course, about our new app. You may not have a signal in here. That's okay. Just take a photo of the QR code or just open it, and it'll open later on when you get out of the cinema. Okay, another thing worth celebrating is, of course, our Winter Wonderland experience, everybody. Last Christmas, we were in lockdown. We couldn't gather. We thought, man, we can't allow lockdown to stop us from being the church. We have to change how we do that. And so we were able to do a Winter Wonderland, one in our Navan location, one in our Dublin location. We had hot chocolates. We had Krispy Kreme donuts. We had gifts to the value Euro for every single child that showed up. We had a photo booth. We had an information station. And families, if you remember, some of you were there, came through in their car, never even left their car, all of us social distance and so on. And we were to bless so many people in our community. To be precise, over 700 people came through our Winter Wonderland drive. Isn't that amazing? We gave out over 500 gifts to the value of €10 and 700 Krispy Kreme donuts and hot chocolates. And of course, people were driving through thinking, who are you and why are you doing this? And it's like, hey, like we said in the opening video, we are a lighthouse, metaphorical albeit, but we want to shine the light of Christ. And you know, in these difficult times where we're so limited, if that means giving someone a donut and a hot chocolate and putting a smile on a kid's face by giving them a quality gift, so be it. You know, we want to be a blessing to our community. So we're super thankful and grateful for our Winter Wonderland drive-to. Another part of what we do, of course, is our international mission. You may not know this, but every time you give to Lighthouse Church financially, whether it's a one-off gift or give consistently, 10% of everything that comes into our church, we then give away to other organizations, some based here in Ireland and others based internationally. One of the organizations that we give to is a sister church that we support in the nation of Brazil, which is led by Pastor Ariel and Mariana. And they're in the area, or the region, or the state, I should say, of Bahia, near the city of Salvador, which is a really rough place to do ministry, and we're able to help them and support them. 2% of everything that you give to us goes to help their church. But just in the middle of lockdown, they were able to acquire a new building and resources were tight. They had this kids' church area. Do you have the photos of before first, guys? They had this kids' church area, which was, you know, really like an old shed. It was run down. You know, it wasn't particularly friendly for kids. They tried their best with, you know, painting some doors and putting some signs up, as we often do. But they were trying to get some help to do some work on it. And I was talking to them. We were just praying with them and said, well, what is it and how much? And he goes, well, we're trying to get a bunch of people to commit to different things. Like if one person could help pay for paint for the corridor, and one person could help pay for carpet, and one person could help, and so on and so forth. And we prayed. We thought, man, we need to help these people. We think we value the next generation. We just said that, didn't we? Yeah. It's time to put our money where our mouth is. We don't have a building right now. One day we will. But what we can do for others is that which we would love to be done for ourselves. And what was happening at that time, which is very important, was we were praying about our own financial situation because, again, COVID, not being able to have gatherings, things were tough. And many, many churches were struggling. Many churches are struggling right now financially. And I was really praying to God and saying, God, what should we do? And God spoke to me out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 about the Macedonian church, a church in an area called Macedonia. And it says that out of their overwhelming trial, it says, and their severe poverty, they welled up in rich generosity. And so I gathered a team and said, hey, you know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do in our greatest time of need? We're going to give away the largest offering we've ever given away as a church. And we give away 10,000 euro. We just picked it up and said, yeah, it would help us. We will be secure. You know, be like a little nest egg. But we have good systems and we have margin and we have rainy day funds. We're good. Let's be a generous church in the most difficult time it is to be generous. Let's put our money where our mouth is. So I was able to ring up this pastor and say, we're going to help you. Oh, great, great. Which part? We're going to pay for all of it. We're going to pay for all of it. Here's the video of them showing us what our money was able to achieve for them.
Hey Lighthouse, a gente está muito feliz de estar aqui com vocês e poder compartilhar um pouco do que Deus tem feito no nosso meio. Deus tem nos abençoado demais, como eu já até falei para vocês numa reunião que a gente fez no Zoom. Eu falei a respeito de como nós estamos num lugar novo. Deus tem abençoado grandemente as nossas vidas. A pandemia ainda não acabou, claro, mas aos poucos as pessoas estão voltando a cultuar o Senhor. A gente tem tido um aumento no número de pessoas, então tem sido uma bênção mesmo. Um pouco menos de um mês a gente comprou 100 cadeiras a mais aqui e a gente tem visto essas 100 cadeiras já quase completas aí. Então Deus tem abençoado muito a nossa vida, a nossa igreja e como a gente tem caminhado. E eu sei que vocês fazem parte disso também. Vocês têm nos ajudado, cooperado com isso, inclusive a oferta que vocês fizeram pra gente foi uma cooperação enorme para isso.
Realmente, tem ficado incrível o nosso espaço Kids, graças à colaboração de vocês. A gente já tem colhido alguns frutos, né, do investimento que a gente está fazendo ainda, não finalizamos, né, mas já podemos ver alguns bons resultados na vida das crianças. Elas têm vindo super animadas, empolgadas em participar com a gente. Estão amando, né, todo esse ambiente planejado, sonhado especialmente para a gente compartilhar Jesus para elas. E cada vez mais temos recebido novas famílias, né, trazendo seus filhos, crianças realmente novas no nosso meio para poder ouvir essa mensagem, né? E alguns pais têm falado assim, que elas acordam todos os dias perguntando se é domingo para poder vir para a igreja, ir para nossa salinha e estar ali com os amigos, né, e louvando e ouvindo a palavra do Senhor. Outras chegam também, não querem ir embora, porque realmente tem sido um tempo muito especial. E esse é o nosso desejo, né, que as crianças realmente fiquem bem à vontade aqui no nosso meio e a gente realmente tem essa porta aberta de compartilhar o evangelho na vida delas.
É isso aí. E a gente quer mais uma vez agradecer vocês, porque nós temos certeza que da mesma forma que vocês têm semeado nas nossas vidas aqui, e a gente já tem colhido frutos disso, nossa oração é que Deus ele derrame sobre vocês o dobro, o triplo, que ele venha produzir muitos frutos aí no meio de vocês, viu? A gente espera muito ver vocês de novo, de acordo aí, conforme essa pandemia acabando aí, a gente vai poder estar juntos, se Deus quiser, numa viagem missionária ou algo do tipo. Deus abençoe a todos e sintam-se abraçados por toda a igreja aí, tá bom? Tchau, tchau.
One small thing, someone needs to go there and show them how to draw Ireland properly. I don't know what that blob was, but it was really cool to see our name on the wall. And your giving made that possible, because our generosity can often go places that we cannot go ourselves. And what we used to do before lockdown was we would send missions teams to that church, and we're going to grow in that, of course, when it is safe to do so. But even in the time we can't go, it's good to be able to sow in generosity. You're making a difference in parts of the world you may never even get to experience, and lives are being changed. Another, of course, important part of our international mission is compassion. And compassion is a huge part of what we do as a church, because we are commanded as Christ followers to do all that we can to help the poor, okay? And we do that as much as we can here at home, and we also do it abroad. And compassion specifically works with children who are living in poverty through a sponsorship program that gets them fed, gets them clothed, and gives them an education. And I was able, just before lockdown, actually went to Brazil with our missions team to help Pastor Ariel and Mariana and their church. I went a few days earlier, just go back guys a second, I went a few days earlier, and I was able to visit where most of our compassion kids kids are and visit where they live. This is some of the living conditions these children were living in. The day I was there, there was like a river flowing through the street. It was like sewage. And these kids were literally walking to school, avoiding stepping in sewage, okay? That one of my compassion kids that I met, next slide please, was a young lady called Chris Liney. And when I met her on that day, it turned out it was Father's Day in Brazil. And she was quite emotional. I asked the teacher, why is she so emotional? She said, because both of her parents are dead. She doesn't have a father. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, listen, you may have a physical father, but you have a spiritual family in Lighthouse. And God has sent me all the way from Ireland to say you've got a father in heaven who loves you, who is with you, so you can have confidence and not be afraid because God has an extraordinary purpose for your life. And I was amazed at how well run it was and how well the resources were stewarded. And so many kids' lives are being changed through our partnership with Compassion. As a church, we sponsor over 60 kids. 60 kids, come on. Mostly in Brazil and all over the world. I want to encourage you to keep praying for us kids. And sometime soon, we're going to get Compassion in here to do a Compassion Sunday to give everyone an opportunity to sign up to sponsor a child. Myself and my wife, Ludmila, we sponsored 3 children. Our commitment was we'll sponsor as many kids as we have. We've since had a 4th. So we will be signing up to sponsor one more child. And that is it, people. We are done in Jesus' name. Sick of growing this church by ourselves. Too hard. So we're super excited about that. And of course, last but not least, big celebration is baptism. This, of course, is baptism weekend. And yesterday, we were able to baptize 10 people, everybody. Come on. 10 people. And as we close our service shortly, we'll be showing you the story, a video testimony of one of those people. And everyone that got baptized is going to be featured in the video and they're going to get a certificate today, those who are part of our Dublin location. So come on, how exciting is this? That's just the highlights. I could literally talk for 2 hours on all the things that God is doing, but there's some of the highlight things that I want you to celebrate with me. Let's shift gears and turn a corner now and begin to bring this in for a close. Some things to contemplate. Well, like we said, some things I want you to think about as you lead today. First of all, church online. Like I said, Lighthouse Church Online, those of you watching right now, is a great opportunity. We put it at 7 p.m. in the evening because we want people to be here in person. Of course, if you can't do it because of medical reasons or because you live geographically somewhere else, we get that. But I want to get you to think about the possibility of using this as a resource. Maybe friends and family won't come here or can't come here, but they will watch the link. Typically speaking, our online service is about 50 minutes long. It's very short, very sweet, and it's very encouraging. So I want you to think about how we can use online church more strategically, especially with friends and family who maybe don't have the courage just yet to come visit us in person. Second thing I want you to contemplate is, of course, giving. Because like I said, without your giving, none of this is possible. Okay, I was at my Connect group on Friday night, which is a tag rugby Connect group, which is a whole lot of fun. And afterwards, we were there in the rugby club, and we're just hanging out a few from the church. And someone who wasn't part of our church said, "So what do you do?" The awkward question. I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." And he went, "You're a plasterer." And I went, "No, I'm not a plasterer. I'm a pastor. I deal with spiritual plasters." That makes sense. And we got into this conversation. And of course, as is always the case, there's the 4 or 5 very obvious questions. And then came the question, who pays for it? Who funds it? Like, are you funded from America? Do you get government grants? Where does the funding come from? I say, it comes from the people. He's like, but like, who wants to give to a church in Ireland? That was a great question. People whose hearts are committed to it. So I'm not asking you for money. I'm asking for your heart. I'm asking you to be with us in this mission because what we're doing every single week is changing lives. What we're doing every week is changing lives not only in Ireland but internationally. And I really believe that God is building something here in Laos that will shake this community in a good sense and be a positive influence in our nation. None of that is possible without your giving. Another thing to contemplate is an organization called ARC that we're part of, the Association of Related Churches. And 2% of everything that you give goes to ARC. And what ARC does is ARC helps churches like this start in Ireland. There's an ARC in America, there's an ARC in Australia, there's an ARC all over the place. But we're part of the Irish ARC not Noah's Ark, the Irish Ark. And this one's going to flow too, let me tell you. It's going places. And we, believe it or not, this church, Dublin Church, was the first Ark church in Ireland, everybody. How cool is that? And since then, we've planted 5 more churches. And in the next 12 months, we're going to plant 3 more churches. And wait for it to blow your minds. In the room today, we have one of those churches, D24 Church, launching spring 2022 in the Tala area. So if you know anyone in the Tala area, or you're from the Tala area, leave this church and go to that church because it's a better church and it's better for you to be planted in your community. But we're super excited that we get to launch churches all over our nation like this that are life-giving, they're centers of hope, that are new and relevant and exciting and impactful. So again, I want you to contemplate how your giving is helping to make that possible. Okay, last but not least, what are some things then as we close that we want to concentrate on? As we look forward next 3 to 6 months, what are we really focusing on as a church? Number one, our youth. We really want to pour a massive amount of prayer, energy, and resource into our youth. We think that right now, one of the most challenged, one of the most suffering demographics in our society are young people. Yeah. And we may not be able to solve and fix all their problems, but we can, you know, lend our shoulder, so to speak, to the challenge and do what we can to help young people. So we have a whole bunch of things that are launching this season, 2 new youth groups, a whole bunch of youth connects, and we want your kids, your young people, to be connected to what we're doing in Lighthouse Youth. It is a priority for us moving forward. Second thing we're concentrating on is, of course, our connect groups, because we want to be connected as a church. We want people not just to attend the service, but to make friends and enjoy life. Come on, it's good to enjoy life. And so if you haven't already signed up to a connect group, make sure to do so today. LighthouseChurch.ie. There are literally, like I said, groups for everyone. There's rugby groups, there's a barbecue group, there's a crafting group, there's Bible study groups. I lead a group Wednesday night called The Reason for God, a theological group based on a book by Tim Keller. There's all sorts of groups. What we want is every single person to be connected. That is our focus. And the connect group season starts this week and runs for 10 weeks and finishes the first week of December. We'd like you to be involved in that. Number 3, we're also concentrating on compassion, because we can fight for their dreams. And most of these children in challenging parts of the world aren't able to achieve that because they don't have the ability or capacity, because they lack the support and opportunity. And our giving and our prayer and our support can help release these young people freedom from poverty and into their extraordinary purpose in Christ. A big part of our focus moving forward is going to be our partnership with Compassion. Also, this coming Christmas, it's only a few weeks. I know it's crazy to say to Christmas, everybody. Either you love it or you hate it. Either way, it's inevitable. And we will be doing a Christmas at the Movie series. The whole, yeah, come on, we're celebrating. There's going to be popcorn. There's going to be Coke. We're looking at movies. We're actually in the process right now of choosing what movies we're going to do messages on. We're looking at a Star Wars movie. We're looking at The Greatest Showman movie. We're looking at, I think, Frozen 1 as a movie and other ones. So we're looking at what movies we're going to do, but it is a wonderful time to be able to come to church and experience the truth of the gospel using the narrative of movies. So don't miss that. Also, we're going to do another Winter Wonderland drive-thru experience December 5th and December 12th. Put it in your calendar. We haven't decided which location is which, but make sure, put it in your calendar and get the word out. We want to have thousands of people coming through our drive-thru this coming Christmas. And of course, as we cross over into January, we always start the new year with 21 days of push. Push, of course, an acronym standing for praying until something happens. We always start the year in Lighthouse with 21 days of prayer and fasting. Don't be freaked out about that. We'll explain more as we get closer. But we really believe in, guys, that 2022 is a crucial year for us. The 2022 is going to be a year of growth. We're talking about our venue, creating more rooms here because we're growing a lot. We're looking at our Navan location. We are in talks about potential property. We are talking about our third church plant, which we started conversation about right now, having a third Lighthouse church somewhere in Ireland. So yeah, come on, we're super excited about that. So 2022 is going to be a crucial year for us. And so we start on our knees, depending on God, because he is the source of our confidence. Yeah, amen. Come on, let's give it better. Come on, let's give it better. Hands up for that. God is our confidence. So And of course, like I said, next Sunday we start a brand new series called Fear Factor, how we can have an overcoming faith in the face of overwhelming fear. It's a 5-part series looking at how do we overcome the fear of freaking out, the fear of being found out, the fear, all the fear of losing control, all these fears that we have, a very practical, helpful series starting next week. And that brings this vision talk to a close. I want to finish by saying, Gorev Mila Mahagot, a massive thank you to every single one of you who are part of our church, whose heart is with us, who makes this possible, especially all of our dream team, who were here this morning at 7:25. Come on, let's show our appreciation for our dream, setting up all this. And again, you don't have to be here 7:25 to be part of this. There's so many ways to belong to this and be part of this. But for those of you who are, I want to say thank you. And as we close, I want to remind you that we have confidence. That we have confidence as a church. We have confidence, not in ourselves, not in our brand, not in our venues, not in our name, not in our individual gifts and abilities. We have confidence in what God has said. And God has said, Lighthouse Church, you are made for more. And God has said, Lighthouse Church, I've called you to inspire ordinary people to extraordinary purpose in Christ. I've called you to make a difference in the city of Dublin and the nation of Ireland. And as I am your helper, you do not have to be afraid. My friends, God is with us. My question is, are you with us? Are you with us? And again, I'm not looking for any demonstration. I'm looking for your heart. Are you with us in heart? Because if we are together, following God and serving him, if we're with him in whatever he's doing, we don't have to pray for God to bless it. Because it's already blessed. Because it's what he is doing. This is the beginning of the future. And we're part of it. And we're super excited.
Hi, I'm Paddy, I'm 24, and I work in marketing in the travel industry. Growing up, I always felt different. I always felt like I kind of didn't fit in. By the time we'd hit kind of a young teenager, I really started to act out. I didn't know what life was about, and I knew there was something missing in me. I started to abuse alcohol from a young teen, and from that I kind of got that sense of everything is okay and the ease and comfort. But that only lasted a period of time before I moved on to other things, such as party drugs and gambling. A lot of that would have taken a big, big toll on my life. Would have brought me down paths that I never thought I'd go down. Led me away from life. And what I learned from it is I couldn't cope with life on life's terms. And it was the only thing that could help me get through the day was any of them. From that point, life was miserable. Life was miserable. I didn't want to live, but I didn't want to die either. Just couldn't cope, so I had to be, my mind had to be altered 24/7. It was a dark reality. A dark reality. But after numerous of bad decisions and mistakes and emigrating, you name it, all these different things to try to fix myself, but I reached a point where I had to try something new. And it suggested to me before, and I never really took it on, was maybe God could help me. Through this period of time, when I really hit a rock bottom, I didn't believe in God whatsoever. Didn't believe. Thought it was all just one big lie. How could I believe in that? But through that brokenness, I found hope. And that hope was in God. At first, I didn't know what God was. I was told to hand my life over to God as I understood, which I didn't know what that was, but it was a start. To say God works in mysterious ways, and he definitely was here, leading me. So I managed to put down drink, drugs, gambling, and I got about a year into that journey, and I thought, there must be more to this. There must be more to this. And that's what led me to Jesus. I remember in the second lockdown, I decided I was going to buy a Bible, because that's what I was drawn to. So I ordered a Bible, and I was going to read it from front cover to back cover, and after a couple of days, I was like, I'm not doing that. But there was something always there that kept leading me back. And like my first experience of church, again, was on YouTube. linking into different services and stuff like that, and it was brilliant. It was brilliant to see a different side to Christianity that I'd never seen before. I've seen a place where I really thought I would fit in. It was exactly what I was looking for. And then I took the next step. I joined the Connect group, and I told myself, if you don't like it, just never go back, just sign off. You don't have to go back. But 2 or 3 weeks later, I'd handed my life over to Christ on a Zoom call with a group of people in that Connect group. My life really took off from there. Today I know I was trying to fill a God-shaped hole in my soul with everything else to try to fix my problems. Today life's worth living. And that's all down to God. So that's my story of how God did for me what I could not do for myself. And my life over to Jesus was the best decision I ever made. For me, it was my last resort. It doesn't have to be your last resort.